Force.
Good evening. Can I ask you to take a seat if you wish to? We'll just start this public session of the Government Advisory Committee. At the Government Advisory Committee, we're always very pleased. We pull such a crowd at 5 or 6 o'clock at night. When the alternative is the bar, I think this says something that we appreciate. My name is Paul Toomey. I'm the chair of the Government Advisory Committee. And I just, in this public session, want to take you through our communique, our formal statement of our work today, talk a little bit about what's on the agenda, and then open it up for questions from the floor. And this is being webcast so that we've got questions coming in across the web as well. Let me take the time to read out our communique. The Government or Advisory Committee of the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers held its fourth meeting today. The attending committee members representing 31 national governments, distinct economies as recognised international fora, and multinational governmental and treaty organisations issued the following statement. The the Governmental Advisory Committee has had fruitful discussions around substantive issues relating to the usage of the internet across the worldwide community and the administration of the country code top-level domains. With regard to the tentative agreements among ICANN, the United States Department of Commerce and Network Solutions Incorporated, the GAC takes note of the tripartite agreements between ICANN, NSI and the U.S. Department of Commerce and the further explanation provided by the United States government. With regard to principles for the delegation of management of country code top-level domains, the GAC continues discussions of the principles regarding the delegation of management of CCTLDs. This matter will be further considered taking into account the views expressed in open session by the CCTLD representatives. The GAC will continue its consideration of these issues. The GAC welcomes the spirit and content of the open session with the CCTLD community and looks forward to further dialogue. The next meeting, the next face-to-face meeting of the GAC will be set on a date to be determined. So it's a fairly straightforward and somewhat planned communique. But for my partners in rhetoric, what would you expect less? I wonder if we can open the floor to any questions. Can I just make some observations? We had a very good series of discussions around the country code top-level domain issue, and we very much appreciated the open session, both the question and answer session we had with CCTLD representatives and also the opportunity for people on the publicly to make comments on that. We see our role having a discussion around this in no way as being sort of determining a point or determining this discussion around the issue. We just are conscious that governments have an interest in the issue around CCTLDs. And we're hoping to start a dialogue and a discussion around this with other stakeholders who are interested, with a spirit towards contributing towards where I think a lot of the people in this room and the community are heading, which is towards a perhaps potentially more stable or a more certain set of rules or regime around CCTLDs. So we're trying to make our contribution. We're trying to do it in a way that is in dialogue, but we're also trying to do it in a way in which we, as is appropriate amongst governments, actually bring governments along in a way that they feel comfortable. And specifically on that, I mentioned in the public session, one of the things that I have to balance as chair is entering immediately into open dialogues, but also giving the members of the GAC the opportunity to be able to go back to their capitals to consult with the parts of their administrations that find these things relevant and to come back. So we're not quite in the same position as, say, people who are maybe potentially CCTLD administrators. We can't make instant decisions or instant positions for our governments. We actually have to discuss things here, but we also have to go back and talk in capitals and come back and have a discussion. So as the chair, I have to balance giving the members the chance to do things properly according to their rules and systems, and also then to start the dialogue process. So, bit of a balance process going on there in the timing. That was just my main observation. If there's questions, we have microphones. There's one here at the front. Let me just check. Are we taking all the questions at this microphone or are there roaming microphones?
All right. Let me see if I can skillfully craft a comment into a question. I'd like to challenge GAC to rethink this citizenship requirement. I see it as a rather xenophobic approach to finding out who represents a company in a given country, that he must be also a citizen of that country. There are in Japan, where I live, probably 5 million third-generation Koreans and Chinese who are denied Japanese citizenship. I myself have lived in Japan 28 years, worked in Japan 28 years. It happens we represent the official publishing office of the European Union in Japan, selling all the periodicals, gazettes, journals, books, CD-ROMs. I am an American. I'm not a candidate for any job here, but if you had me, you'd have three regions. So I'd like to have it rethought. We have Richard Lindsay, who is representing the registrar's constituency in the names council and doing an excellent job. And to have him denied that seat where he's doing a good job, he's doing a better job representing Japan than someone from New Zealand or Australia would, and they're in the same region. So we challenge you to rethink that, and perhaps you could give us some rationale for restricting it to a citizen. That way I turn this into a question.
Well, let me take it first as an observation. I'm happy to take back to the GAC that as an observation and put it to them. Perhaps I can make an observation then as the chair, if I can just recall to you the process I watched when this topic came up about whether one chooses citizens or whether one chooses residents. And this is apologies to all the members of the GAC. What I saw was the Europeans saying no citizenship because we don't want our interests represented by Americans. I saw North Americans saying no citizenship because we've got too many Europeans working for American companies in Europe. And we sort of similar sort of thing out of Asia and out of Africa. I mean, it was quite interesting to watch everybody's reaction, which was think the same. They didn't trust each other. So that was one reaction which I thought was quite interesting. The other one, and that was a reaction, I have to say, from what I saw, which was put to them by their industry groups and by people who wasn't necessarily sort of government positions, but they were being told in their own interests, their own communities, their own business groups are saying that we can put on our presidents. But the other thing I would make an observation about is that simply was there was an issue of certainty in its consideration. It was so much easier to have certainty around citizenship than it was around residency and to prove it. That's just my recollection as the chair around that discussion, which there was, I have to say, a lot of unanimity around the table. And the unanimity actually came from a lot, it wasn't just governments that were putting in a government position, they were governments who were representing things they had been informed by their citizens of that company. So that was my observation as the chair. I was neutral on the topic personally. I'm happy to take it back, but I just want to give you that context. I think the other thing which was a real difficulty was the issue of determining on residency, particularly in a modern business environment where people could actually be resident in three places at the same time. I know many people in the internet community who have, you know, could argue they've got residency in three countries at the same time because they actually live in three countries at the same time. So that was a problem raised as well. Nevertheless, let me take that. I'll take that on board and take it back to the next meeting. Here you are, where you're from, just to help the other people who are on the webcast.
I'd like to know which countries were represented today in the meeting. Maybe through the website or if you have the list.
Countries who were represented in alphabetical order were Argentina, Australia, Austria, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Denmark, the European Union as a form of entity, France, Gambia, Germany, Hong Kong, China, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Korea, Malaysia, Netherlands, New Zealand, UAE, Norway, for the first time ever. That's an incredibly dangerous mistake. N-I-N-I-U-E. for the first time, it was a special welcome to the Russian Federation, Singapore, Sweden, Switzerland, Taiwan, Thailand, United Kingdom, the United States, and the World Intellectual Property Organization was also represented. Sorry? The Gambia. We received apologies, if you're interested, from the Czech Republic, Jamaica, Libya, the ITU, and the OECD, and also the APC, the Asia-Pacific Telecommunity. further questions.
Kenneth Kuki, Red Herring Magazine. In looking at the issue of the data of the registries of domain name users, did you discuss the question of the possibility of data escrow for domain name holders in terms of who they are, either in the gTLD space and in the ccTLD space? And if you did speak towards the discussion of escrowing data of all of the personal data of all the domain name holders, whether the issue of privacy came up and what were some of the tentative conclusions?
Yes.
Thank you.
We recognize both those issues around security or integrity of the system, and so scrub plays an important part, and mirroring, etc. We also recognize the important issue around integrity for the system, essentially who is data, and also issues around privacy. The reason I said yes is that we certainly haven't come to any sort of conclusion on them. We just simply said these are issues. Let me be very clear. Today we talk very generally around issues. We utilized a piece of paper with some points on it. It was by no means our final document. It doesn't represent anything. It was just a sort of a text that had some concepts down that was a sort of discussion. We've been talking through a lot of issues, but we have not come anywhere near being a sort of like settled any principles. We just sort of recognize that this is an issue or that's an issue. So my answer was actually quite appropriate. We just recognize them.
At some point, do you believe that GAC has the authority to request or to recommend that all of users' data, or to mandate that all of users' data get escrowed to assure the stability of the Internet?
GAC has no authority to demand anything from anybody. It's just a group of people comes and meets. If the question is there authority for such things to be demanded, there has to be consideration given to the sovereign power of governments or public authorities recognized in international fora as it relates to things that relate to their own country code top-level domain. That's probably the best answer. This is a very fluid area, but we had a very fluid discussion. But there was no sort of yes, there is power, no. It was just, you know, a consciousness that these new principles for making the system to work, and also a consciousness that these principles need to operate in an environment where it's both international and at the same time you've got issues of national sovereignty. Let me tell you, that wasn't a very easy conversation, but we...
But nations don't have sovereignty over their ccTLD, or do they?
There was a statement made by the Government Advisory Committee in Berlin, if you recall, putting down its very formally its considered position on that ultimately authority does rest with the public authorities or the governments. But that's a statement of, if you like, legal principle. What we are really concerned about is actually it's much more about talking through and having a discussion with interested parties about the practicalities and about how we make things work. So it's not meant to be sort of a scary statement, it's just a statement of high-level legal principles. But we're actually concerned about getting down to the next level about how we can engage with the city community, or the community and others about thinking that through, how can we make this process work smoothly? It's not putting up a war flag, right? That's what we're trying to do at all.
I would like to come back to the so-called NSI agreements. Understanding diplomatic language, your statement that you have taken note of it has been very enlightening to me. My question is, do you expect that the GSC will follow up to this issue in any way?
don't see it being formally on the agenda for the GAC. Let me be careful about that wording, so as you understand it. While it says we take note, that wording says we take note, not least and partially because many of our members who are participating are somewhat new to the debate or considering issues, so we were not in a position with 30-something people around the table to say we all have a common view. Right? So take note can mean, as I assume you're indicating, Michael, it can mean a sort of negative sort of statement. It would be wrong in this circumstance to read that wording as being a wording of disapproval and negativity. It's simply just a neutral wording because we have an issue with 30 representatives who were not of the same degree of absorption of the issues. So that, I understand where that was. Those agreements will continue to be in the mind, I think, of anybody who is considering issues related to the top level domains, be they the GTLDs and CTTLDs, because they just raise certain principles and they're there. So I think they're going to continue to be issues of discussion. They're not formally down, I think, on any GAC agenda, but for that matter, neither is the next meeting date. So.
Well, I understand that the way you've worded it, it could be either a strong disagreement or it could be the reflection of the fact that you did not reach agreement on it. And that reminds me to what the NEMS Council did today. We had some members of the NEMS Council strongly disagreeing with the so-called NFI agreement. I personally particularly disagree because from a European perspective, I feel that this is a step back to the green rather than the white paper with regards to the involvement of the US government. But anyway, the question remains, as I would assume that you have had some of the members of the GAC who, as I did and some other members of the NEMS Council, were disagreeing with the NSI agreement, we expect themselves to follow up, or will there be another round of discussion within the GAC in the near future? Do you intervene at the ICANN level, or will some of you intervene?
Michael, we can't intervene at the ICANN level. I mean, I need to keep making this point each meeting. I mean, we are a grouping of governments which have an interest who are asked to come together and reflect upon the legal implications or international treaty implications that may affect the domain name system. We, there's sometimes misapprehension that we have, not that I'm saying you're saying this, but let me take the opportunity to clarify this. You know, we do not turn up at board meetings and say, board, do the following at all. We can't do that. So I don't want to get to think that we can intervene at the board level, or GS at the ICANN level. I need to go back to my statement before about it's a neutral set of words, because if you look at that group of people who are participating, some countries and some governments have had much more involvement on the generic top level domain issue ever since the Green Paper and were much more aware of the issues. Some members participating have not been so involved. Some were relatively new to our group, and just as being just the careful language that we have to do in government, I think we also saw the same thing today in the CCTLD presentation. We can't put words in people's mouths, so we couldn't turn around and say lots of positive things if we didn't have everybody the same mind, the same degree of involvement. Not that they were personally critical, they just hadn't been as involved. So the language is neutral simply to reflect that. I really don't want people to misinterpret that language. It's not a statement of negativity, it's just a neutral statement. You would be aware that some members of the GAC have made representations to the United States government on the agreements. I think those are in public. I think there's dialogue continuing.
Hi, Dana Gallup with Domain Name Trust and .md. First of all, I want to say that I appreciate that the GAC appears to be giving considered opinion to the CCTLD position. And obviously, recognizing that the issues are rather complex and the practicalities are rather complex in terms of what government's role is, and obviously government needs to play a role. My question to you, actually, at the Santiago meeting, I had asked whether GAC would consider some means by which you can open up the process to more participating governments, because I think you would agree with me that participation by 31 entities when there are more than 200 governmental bodies around the world is not truly representative of the position of those bodies. And I'd asked of you, and I would ask you again, if it wasn't done, to take back to the GAC to consider either by means of video conferencing or telephone conferencing or some means by which the process can become more inclusive, because as you know, particularly with respect to the Republic of Moldova, they were fortunate enough to be able to attend the meeting in Santiago, but were not able to attend the meeting here today, and frankly, it came down to financial means to attend these meetings, and that is true not only of a smaller country like Moldova, but it's true of probably most of the governments who were not able to attend the GAC. So my request upon you, and I don't know if it came up for discussion today at the meeting, is to ask the question and find out if whether there is some way to be more inclusive so that whatever communique ultimately comes out by GAC with respect to CCTLD issues or any other issue is truly more representative of the majority of the countries or governments of the world.
It's a good point you made in Santiago. The practicalities of teleconference or more important video conferencing is difficult. We're certainly very keen to keep using email, the email list that we have in communication, online communications we have. I think what we're also very keen, and I would very much appreciate the participation of this group, is where you are conscious of issues where people physically can't make it at a meeting, or where you are conscious that you think there are people you deal with in various countries that you think you'd be participating. I'd be very keen to get that assistance and help. If there are people you think need to be involved in governmental levels, please get in contact with me. We'll make a further representation to them. And we'll try as much as possible to get included in your general proposition is a very good one. At some practical level, we have to say, if we're going to have face-to-face, money is some sense of commitment in some degree. We have to ask people to actually try to make it there. But if people can't, we are very much trying to get people online, and everything we're doing face-to-face actually is all being done online. So the point's well made.
It may be also, to follow up on your point, if a particular government could be favored with the agenda or the anticipated agenda for the GAC meeting and then have a means of email input or something directly to you as the chairman and say, you know, we've reviewed the agenda and here is our position that we would like you to represent at the meeting on our behalf or something to that
effect. We actually had that the case. That was actually the case of this meeting, and we received such a communication from Libya. So that's certainly an open, but that's a request and help from, I know many of you actually do deal with governments. I'm particularly thinking about the subcontinent, Africa, Middle East, other places that people feel there are people we need to be inviting. I'd very much appreciate hearing those people. I think I said in a previous meeting that I feel somewhat constrained that I communicate directly with the government, a senior person in the government, and it's up to the government to make a decision, A, if they attend, and B, who's the most appropriate person to attend. And to try to double-guess the government is actually a pretty rude thing to do as a government. It's a protocol thing we've got to worry about. But if people know that XYZ is really the person we need to speak to in Uganda, for instance, then I'm very happy to get that communication so that we can try to find a way directly communicating with them. Thanks, Matt.
My name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter from the University of Aarhus in Denmark. You know, in the dialogue with the CCTLDs, I think the delegate from the United Kingdom referred also to the global business dialogue on electronic commerce and said, you know, this new dialogue between industry and government is also of a certain interest. The CBDE itself was the result of a governmental proposal. Mr. Bangemann wanted to elaborate a global communications charter, which was then watered down. And in the communique was said that this process should be led by the industry and driven by the market. This is the principle which is also very close to ICANN, and the Paris recommendations refer also in certain paragraphs to ICANN and this process. You know, how the governments look at this parallel and what is the position from the government in relating to the CBDE and to ICANN. Thank you.
Well, Ken, I think that's actually a very pertinent question. It's actually come up several times in our discussions today that the domain name system is just one of a number of things in which many people who attend the government advisory committee interact with each other on the kind of commerce policy. I mean, that's, for instance, like my position, I coordinate all e-commerce policy for the Australian government, having to do with the internet and online services. So, you know, I interact with other governments at WTO, at OECD, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that we discussed is that there's an emerging pattern in the whole e-commerce area around the word they use is co-regulation. Now, to be truthful, it has many different definitions of what co-regulation means, but essentially at the heart of it is some sort of interaction between industry self-regulation and government support or underpinning for that industry self-regulation. And you see that emerging in all sorts of models around privacy, around telecommunication standards, a whole range of things. Now, we made that point because it actually, I think, was an interesting point around the CCTLD issue. Here's an issue which has a whole private sector interaction, and an important one, and we heard things that work being done in best practice models and degree of regulation. But it's also an area where governments are involved and have some interest, so potentially we saw that as being another area where, you know, we don't have to see each other as, you know, as the enemy. As Dennis said, you know, we've got the horns and a tail. Perhaps the tails are getting smaller and the horns are coming down. But, you know, this is potentially people were seeing this as being another area where people could collaborate much more closely, both in the domestic area and also to international rules. So that was very much the spirit of where we were coming from, which was a spirit of sort of potentially co-regulation or co-thinking through the issues together.
Anthony Vancouver and IHLD. I asked you in Berlin, I believe, if you would like to meet with a group of us to discuss data matters, best practices, redelegation, and so on for CCTLDs. And at that time, you told me that you didn't think it was a good idea. Can you explain why that's changed?
Sure. I always thought that you were one of several people who came to me and made similar sort of comments. I think the first ones I received actually were in Singapore. My reaction at that stage was simply just a timing issue. It hadn't yet really come as an issue. CCTLD issue wasn't really the top of the agenda for the GAC yet at that stage. It was more focusing on ICANN, structural and other issues. And I think also, without sort of prejudging things, one of the things that's taken place to date over the last four meetings of ICANN is that it's institutions, supporting institutions, have solidified a bit more consensus around who represents whom, who can speak for people. Not necessarily, you know, the final word, but nevertheless, it's been clearer for us now who to have the dialogue with. And I always considered the dialogue would have to be at some semi-formal level, because otherwise if we just talk to these three key individuals, then why didn't we speak to those six and those 23 over there? That's still going to be an issue, but that was partly where I was coming from. I was not rejecting the idea, but I just knew timing-wise, there was a progression to get to.
I'd like to make a follow-up question. I was handed a GAC statement of principles today, and there's a couple of questions I'd like to ask you about that. I noticed...
Yes,
go ahead.
I won't answer any questions on that paper, and there's a reason I won't. That paper doesn't exist, in the sense it does, of course, but... It's a non-paper that was the basis of some initial people just putting some drafts down. It doesn't represent in any sense the nature of our discussions today finalised. I mean, there's points in there that are important, but it would be really inappropriate for me to discuss a thing which was actually a half-completed, half-piece of work cut short halfway through by a group, which was only for discussion starting first thing this morning. And me to answer questions based on that document would be really inappropriate because it doesn't reflect even where we got to by the end of the day. So
let me ask a general question.
Sure.
in the question of redelegations, which has traditionally been the purview of the IANA, what do you see the continuing role of the IANA to be in relation to government?
I can't answer that at the moment because they were the issues we were actually struggling with. I mean, I can't, as the chair of the GAC, give you an answer because we don't have an answer. At this stage, we're still very much in terms of what are the questions. And that was, we actually asked that question of the CCTLD representatives today. What did you see the roles of people? One of the things that I think is emerging, though, is that there's a role for three parties somewhere in this broad, practical solution space. There is a role for ICANN. There's a role for the business that received the delegation, the delegee, if you like. And there's a role for the national government or the public authority as recognised in international fora. What those roles are, what the nature of the relationships, that's still the whole area for discussion and consideration.
I don't seem to be holding anyone else back. I'll ask one more question, which is, to what extent do you see the good performance of a CCTLD manager to be an important criterion in deciding redelegations, or do you think that performance, according to the best practices, should have any role in
it? It partly depends what you mean by performance. Let me answer the question. As I say sometimes, let me take the instructions that the editor gives at the Economist. Let me exaggerate and simplify. Okay, let me exaggerate and simplify in the inverse to make a point. If a country code top level domain is not operating for reasons that the delegee just is not performing, and the rights of the citizens in a particular country which is covered by that are being completely infringed because they can't access it, that is clearly a problem. A point was made today that if it's not broke, don't fix it. There was lots of evidence. Discussions that there are certainly instances where things are broken. So if that's performance, then clearly it's an important issue. Performance is a word which is like a spectrum. I'm not willing to say where that spectrum sort of finishes in terms of influencing. We take any issues about do you have a 3-hour turnaround time and that sort of stuff, I think that's at the end of the spectrum. But
and one final question which has to do with the there are some CCTLDs today that are directly run by their government. Or turns out not run at all by the government. So I would ask you, if you think it is appropriate that government actually be held to some standard of performance in providing services to the internet community, as well as the managers or delegates?
There was quite a lot of discussion about that in the group, and I think there was an emerging consensus that there are responsibilities on government, potentially generally, about the ways in which things eventually are executed. I won't go any further than that. I would just point out the thing. Let me just finish with some roles we saw as being important to distinguish because there's a bit of confusion, we think. We think there's actually some value in distinguishing between a delegee, someone who has formally received the delegation, and distinguishing that from the management, administration, and marketing. Because potentially those things can all be done by the same person, potentially they can all be contracted out to different people, potentially those parts of that business can be done outside the territory of them. So we think it's worthwhile making those distinctions. I certainly think there is something about if the delegee just can't perform at all, and if the delegee it could be some government department that's running it, hasn't been taken confidence to do it, nothing's happening, then there's got to be some accountability that if you're not delivering benefits that the local community and the rights of that local community aren't being sort of met, there is a problem.
Three things. One is I want to announce that there will be a meeting of the WGC here tomorrow, which is the Committee on New GTLDs at 8 a.m. The second is that this is as good an opportunity as any with the comments from the online community that there are any. And I guess my own question, fishing for one really, is to ask you to comment on what you've seen and perhaps in the way of a learning curve among the participants in the government advisory committee and the perhaps different levels of seniority of the people there and how that plays out and whether that has somehow become an agency by which folks go back to their countries and make policy recommendations.
I can only make some sort of general observations. There are some very senior people in administration in the GAC. There's some people who are less senior. That tends, I think, to reflect a little bit where the public administrations of those entities actually are considered internet. If I take my own case in point, I'm the equivalent of a permanent secretary of a department, so I'm as high in the bureaucracy as you're going to get. There are other people who are not as senior, but my position reflects where the Australian government is on the internet, and other people are still on the learning curve on the way up. So we have a variety, but the key thing that matters is actually what we have are the people who actually got, who are thinking about the issues in their community, in their government. There's clearly, I'm picking up that clearly there are messages going back out of that process into the broader public administration because you're beginning to see the echoes of it back into things like the OECD. So you can clearly there's sort of a dialogue that continues to go through. And I think the other thing that's happening is we're getting more and more members and new people coming. So we're beginning to people, other people picking up that this is something valuable to do. I'm hesitant to turn it into a sort of education forum for governments. I don't think that's appropriate at all, but I think there's an element of that going on. I wonder if we just want to take, as you indicated, we should take questions from online. Are there any? Oh, spectacular.
Ralph Nader had proposed in a conference a couple of weeks ago in Alexandria that ICANN should be backed by an intergovernmental charter. Did you have any comments on this?
Wolfgang, can I respond as an Australian government official to that rather than the chair of ICANN? Is that appropriate? Can I just say that the Australian government's position is that we would prefer to see the level of coordination that needs to take place around these issues, these technical and administrative issues, the domain name system, the numbering and the protocols, that we prefer to see that done as self-regulatory by people in the community or as close to it as possible, potentially with, you know, the cooperation and the discussion with governments, rather than seeing it done by an intergovernmental organisation, because we think, you know, intergovernmental organisations would be too slow, not close enough to the issues and allowing both the sense of ownership but more importantly sense of expertise to be brought to bear on the topics. I am assuming that the participation of so many governments and national organisations in the GAC represents a similar analysis, and you certainly have got GAC formal GAC recommendations and wording from the last meetings which keeps reinforcing the role of ICANN. I made the point in Berlin, I think, to some small effect, that the sort of model that Ralph Nader has indicated is the potential alternative if this model doesn't work, which is the reason why I think all of us are trying so hard to make sure this thing works. And I would keep reinforcing that. We are still trying very hard, and we think it's been very successful to make this whole model work, because we don't think the intergovernmental organisation model would be as sufficient or as effective. So let me be very clear. That answer is from me as an Australian government official, not as the chair of the GAC. Oh, come on, guys. Hey, compared to Berlin, this is so quiet.
The U.S. Department of Commerce has quite extensive public polls. Dormant powers, that was the term that was used when you were explained what was supposed to be, that could be exercised in case of necessity, often including withdrawing the recognition of ICANN, and then if you look at the agreement that the GAC has taken note of, they basically say that power is reverted to the Department of Commerce that ICANN has. Now, how do other governments feel about that? Basically, one single national government or a department thereof basically holds the key to the entire system, and there is no provision as to under what circumstances this may be exercised, or on behalf of whom, or if this can be simply done in the U.S. national interest, which obviously would not be accepted by other nations.
Thanks for that. I think I've got two parts to my response. I certainly think there is open discussion and recognition that in the white paper process, the United States government recognized an increasing role for global participation in the administration of the domain name system. And I think it would be accurate to say that at least some governments and public authorities have been still remain in discussions around that principle, and we certainly heard nothing from the United States government today which weakened that principle. So that's still a principle we think is on the table. The second issue you raised actually comes to the point I made about co-regulation. But if we're very careful in our analysis here, I'm now talking very, I'm probably out on a limb here, but let me just talk very personally. I was sort of a political scientist doing some analysis of this new institution. It is, in some respects, a co-regulation model in the sense that when push comes to shove with some aspects of enforcement, you are reliant upon state institutions to enforce. You know, if there are true breaches of contracts or if there is criminal behavior or things like that, ICANN, as a private, not-for-profit organization based in California, cannot do enforcement in the state of Tasmania. You're reliant on state institutions to do that. In some respects, in some senses, I think this is a personal observation, I think those agreements reflect the nature of the final fallback. Enforcement power sometimes comes from a state. In many respects, I think we see that sort of fallback. That's one of the value added of the GAC membership, actually, is that we are actually lending our fallback powers to make the system work. I mean, that's a grandiose statement, but to a degree, it's a bit of an underpinning of the model. So I'm not certain, providing is quite clearly, that's probably an extreme statement. What I'm just trying to point out is that eventual fallback on sovereign power to enforce actually is, in some respects, I think, a very positive thing to ensuring that the model we're all trying to put together works. Because the alternative is not, you know, if you eventually got to enforce, you've got to rely on some institutions. So, sorry, I'm beginning to repeat myself.
Sorry to come back to the question. I appreciate that there is a need to basically have a safety vault in the system. Now, safety vault itself shouldn't be the positive closure. The unlimited power just given could be taken by any party. Any U.S. election could change something, and suddenly somebody says, look, I mean, basically it's just going to change that. ICANN is no longer going to exist, or we change that eight times around because it's our national interest. Now, I would expect at least a statement from other governments to say, well, we can live with the system for a year.
Okay.
But we certainly don't expect this to be like that forever.
Okay, I was trying to make a more positive and thoughtful response. But if you ask me this now on that particular issue, I'd simply have to say I can't, as a GAC chair, respond to that in the sense that you have to actually talk to the representatives of the particular government. I mean, as I said before, particular governments have had particular responses to that. It's best to talk to them. The GAC itself simply just said it's taking note of the agreements. I said it before. So. further questions? Okay, can I thank you very much for your participation. Express my disappointment that it was so calm. And look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you.